on this week's broadcast of Peace to Live By.
We are like the Patriots. We broke from the old ways, our old identification. We believed in Jesus Christ. We are no longer like the loyalists who stick with the old ways.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Now, let's listen to today's message.
We are really starting to move into the epicenter of Romans today as we arrive here at chapter 6. Of course, our last chapter was a marvelous one. It's a great thing to know that we have peace with God, that we have that legal standing with Him, and that we can exercise peace in our minds because of our newfound position. At this point, we understand what sin is, how we have failed to follow God's laws, and how that can be rectified through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul has told us that the faith we have in Jesus, for those of us who have believed in Him, the faith we have gives us three things. It gives us redemption, justification, and, as I just stated, peace, or we could say reconciliation. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? The point here in our text today is that we should not willingly follow and live in anything that we have come to identify as sin. If we believe something is sin, we shouldn't live in that sin. And that becomes a problem for certain individuals. For some people, the problem isn't that they think they have sin and need to turn from it. For some, the problem is that they don't believe that what they are practicing is in fact sin. They don't see anything wrong, for instance, in living with their partner before being married to that person. They think that's okay. Well, at some point, you are going to have to realize that that is not okay. You are going to have to come to the place where you are willing to call sin for what it really is, sin, and turn from that sin. God can't help you if He has shown you something as sin, but you are not willing to see it as sin. His hands are tied in that case. You've rejected the truth. And if you keep rejecting the truth, you risk becoming deluded by a spirit of delusion. The true born-again Christian has his or her drive to please God. Doesn't that seem like a reasonable marker for a Christian? We often call Christians Christ followers, right? Isn't that the definition of a Christian? If we are a Christ follower, we are following Christ. If we are following Christ, then we must believe in Him and agree with what He says. We must be seeking to be doing what our head, who is Christ, is pleased with. And bringing this back to our discussion on sin, that means that if Christ thinks something is a sin, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be seeking to eliminate any sin in us that Christ says is a sin? Our goal is to please Jesus. That's what we want to do. That's one reason we have decided to follow him. That doesn't mean there won't be struggles. That doesn't mean either that there won't be a time when you disagree with him about something. That's only normal. There are going to be things you don't see eye to eye on. But our goal is to bring our thoughts into alignment with his thoughts. Our goal is not to please others, whether Christian or non-Christian. Recently, my Mustang was having a problem where the driver's wheel would shake at high speeds. When I would drive around in town at low speeds, there wasn't a problem. But when I took it on freeways and would get it up around 60 miles per hour, then the wheel would start to shake. Well, like most of us do these days, I Googled the problem to see what I could find out in order to try to fix it. I have found that taking my car to a mechanic with a mystery problem can sometimes lead to the problem not getting fixed correctly. So, I decided to Google it. The consensus seemed to be that the wheels were out of alignment. They weren't lined up like they should be, and this was causing the shaking in the steering wheel. Sure enough, when I took the car to the shop and told them to do an alignment, that solved the problem. No more shaking at high speeds. You see, my wheels had to come into alignment for my car to drive properly. Without my wheels in alignment, there was a problem. And that's the way it is with us and Jesus. Our thoughts have to come into alignment with his, or there is going to be some shaking, some friction. We have to be in agreement with him so that things move about smoothly. That's the way we live life to its fullest. Continuing on, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. A transformative thing happens at the time we come into personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Some ministers and theologians have used the example of time travel when coming to this passage. And I want to make use of that same idea, that same theme today. So, sticking with our car theme here, let's talk about another great car. The one I have in mind is a DeLorean. And not just any DeLorean, but the DeLorean time machine from my favorite movie of all time, Back to the Future. Now, what does the DeLorean and time travel have to do with what we are learning today, with what Paul is talking about here? You see, when each of us became a Christian, when each of us was born again, we were united with Christ and his death. The only problem is, how is this possible? Christ died 2,000 years ago. Well, one way to look at it is that when we believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, at that very moment in which we believe, it is as if God himself, sitting in the driver's seat of the DeLorean, acting as Doc Brown, came to us, and we, as Marty, got into the DeLorean time machine with him, and he took us back to 30 AD or so, at the very moment in which Christ was dying on the cross, and somehow united us with Christ in his death. And not only this, but he united us with him in his burial, and then, of course, his resurrection from the dead. And then God brings us back to the exact moment of which we left in the present time and drops us back off as if we never left. And he flies away in the DeLorean. That's pretty much what Paul is trying to convey to us here. Verse 4 again. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Here it is again. Christ was raised from the dead by God's glory. We were raised from the dead by God's glory. Now, we, just as Christ does now, might walk in newness of life. Newness of life means that there must be a difference between our new life and our old one. Paul has drawn a line here. He has said that as Christians, we walk in a way that is dramatically different than the way we used to walk. A positive change is present. Those who used to live with their partner before marriage don't do that anymore. The person who used to steal things has decided that she doesn't want to do that any longer. The person who used to be extremely negative and hard to get along with is becoming more hopeful and optimistic and friendly and nicer. The old is out. And the new is in. A noticeable change exists in the person. They now have a new life, and they are seeking to make good come out of that new life, that new character. That doesn't mean they'll be perfect, but there is a change. And this is where there has to come a change in a person's ways. For the person who is still living with their significant other and isn't married and doesn't want to change their situation, that person is going to have to make a choice. If you have accepted Christ, you need to follow what Christ thinks on the matter. Refusing to follow him in this area, there's going to be a point where either you're going to have to do what is right and either separate or get married, or you're going to have to stop calling yourself a Christian. If you continue to call yourself a Christian, but continue to do what Christ has shown you to be wrong, you're going to run the risk of being a false Christian. A false brother or sister. I would encourage anyone today in these shoes to do what is right. Follow what Jesus says. If you say, I know I should get married, but my boyfriend won't marry me. Well, it's time for a new boyfriend then. I understand it's hard to break that off. I don't want to be insensitive, but you need to find a man who will really love you And a man who will really love you is one who will marry you. He's one who will commit his life to yours for real. Not one who just wants to live life with no commitment. Jesus will lead you and anyone else in the right direction. It may be hard at first, and it may be unpleasant. That's because you've been living the incorrect way, and making correction isn't always comfortable. After you make that correction, though, you will feel awesome. You will be living in your new life, and one that's done right, one you'll get more happiness out of, and one in which Jesus will be pleased. Our next verse is in Romans chapter 6. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, what is this that Paul is talking about in regard to sin? We have already talked about how our bodies of sin have been brought to nothing. We said that when we died and were buried with Christ. But Paul says something interesting here. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Wait, what's that? Then he says, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Wow. Come again? Wow. These are two very dramatic statements. You mean to tell me that a Christian no longer has to sin like everyone else? You mean to tell me that a Christian is free not to sin? Yes, both of those statements are correct. We are no longer enslaved to sin, and we have been set free from sin. Again, Paul said, we know that our old self was crucified with him. So this is the marker of a believer, one who has had their old self the way they were before becoming saved. They have had that self crucified, put to death. If our old person is now dead, we should not seek to live like we did beforehand, right? I mean, that's only common sense. We shouldn't be seeking the perspectives of the world, the views of unbelieving friends. There should be a clear change of character, one that shows there is something different about us. Paul told the Galatian believers, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. He's talking about evil passions and desires here, not any passion or desire. Of course, this is something that has to happen over time, as we bring our flesh into subjection to what God wants. I want to provide an illustration to us to try to grasp what Paul is saying here. Let's get back into the DeLorean and take one more trip for today. This time, going back to the 1770s. In America, during the 1770s, there were those who were the Loyalists and those who were patriots. If you look with me, you can see both types of people walking around here. We are like the Patriots. We broke from the old ways, the old way of thinking, our old identification, for a new way of thinking and a new identification. We believed in Jesus Christ. We are no longer like the loyalists who stick with the old ways, with the tyrannical and oppressive government. This doesn't mean that times are always easy for us. Quite the opposite. Being a patriot versus being a loyalist is harder. It's the harder way to go. It would be easier to just keep things the way they always have been, to just keep living under the old government. So we advocate what we believe, we place our faith in the new government. The patriots fight the battles, and as we are aware, they end up winning the war. The loyalists ended up having to move back to England. They lost. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul said of Christ, the death he died to sin once for all. You see, he met God's legal requirement for a payment for sin. Even though he had never sinned in his life, he took the sin of all persons, past, present, and future, upon himself. He died for our sins so that we would have an acceptable payment before God. He was able to do that because, as Peter said, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. Since Jesus lives his life for God, that is what we as believers are supposed to model in our lives. Paul said we need to consider ourselves dead to sin. The reality that we are dead to sin is just plain fact. We are dead to sin. The issue for us, though, is that we often don't believe that. We often don't feel like we are dead to sin. We notice that we still struggle with sin. There are areas that we have weaknesses in. Nevertheless, Paul says here to consider ourselves dead to it. We have to believe that truth, to let it settle into our minds. This is a case where we see the supernatural working in our lives. We have to believe we are dead to sin before we will have victory over sin. Our belief actually causes us to obtain victory. It's that simple. It's something supernatural that God does. What we think with our minds matters. What we believe inside our minds about what we can and cannot do affects us greatly. We have to believe we are dead to sin in order to obtain victory. When the Patriots were fighting in the Revolution, they had to believe they could win in order to have any chance of winning, right? Surely they believed they could win. That's why they mobilized into a large army with varying generals. That's why they fought the war. If they hadn't have initially believed that they could win, they wouldn't have mobilized and they wouldn't have fought. They would have given up and gave in to the crown. It's the same way with us. We have to accept the truth that we are dead to sin, as God tells us here in Romans, and that will enable us to gain successes over Satan. Our belief motivates our action, and that will enable us to gain successes over Satan. Our belief motivates our action, and it causes the supernatural power of God to flow in our lives. Note that. Don't miss that last point. I know. This is going to be hard for some of you Christian deists out there to accept. You're still stuck in the 1770s. Yes, God's power still flows, depending on what we do as Christians, and depending on what we do not do, our disobedience. Some of you are saying, that's not how God works. It has nothing to do with what we believe or do not believe. You better rethink that. It does depend on that. I think the reason many of you out there have limited victory over sin in your life is because of unbelief. There are Christians who struggle with the same sins for years, over and over, and they never gain victory over them. Their improvement is little to nothing. We have to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are alive in Christ. We have His power available to us to live life, but we have to use that power. I love this text, but we are out of time for today. We'll have to pick up next week where we are leaving off. I want everyone out there today to know that anyone at the sound of my voice who doesn't know Christ, who doesn't know Jesus, who's not familiar with His power, can have a relationship with Him today. Yes, anyone can. Believe in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and that He rose from the dead so that we can identify in Him and have new life with Him.
Thanks, Daniel. This is the Peace to Live By radio program featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/peacetoliveby and be sure to hit the like button. The Bible says, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.